Jordan, so near banks I stand, and cast a wishful eye.
Hi, this is Jay Webb of International Gospel Hour. For 80 years, Churches of Christ have proclaimed God's Word through International Gospel Hour. You're about to listen to another Bible-based lesson with Jody Apple on International Gospel Hour, starting now.
Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 1 of week number 38, studying Mark chapter 10. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. At that page, you will find links to audio and video files, print materials, ebooks, Bible reading schedules, links to all of these IGH 260 broadcasts, links to our Bible study courses, and much more. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. That's text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/International Gospel Hour. These online courses are self-paced. Go as fast or as slow as you want. And like everything at International Gospel Hour, they are available to you absolutely free. Again, visit igh.worldbibleschool.org or follow the links at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. There are at least 10 free resources that you might want to check out at our free page. First, McGarvey's Sermon on Baptism. Some 30,000 people have already seen it online. Second, the 6-lesson audio series, The Beatitudes, The First Thing That Jesus Taught. Third, the ebook, Receiving the Gift of Salvation. Fourth, the ebook, Surrendering to His Lordship. Fifth, another ebook, Victory in Jesus, Expect Spiritual Victory in Christ. Sixth, links to our online courses. Seventh, a 6-lesson audio series, The Big Questions. It asks and it answers questions about God, the Bible, Christ, faith, redemption, and the Christian life. Eighth, the video class, Spiritual People Worship God. Ninth, our daily Bible reading schedules. And then finally, 10th, a 6-lesson online video series entitled Christ Obeyed, What About Me? It emphasizes our need to surrender to Jesus. All of these resources are always available at our free page, internationalgospelhour.com/free. Have you missed any of our IGH 260 broadcasts? All of the lessons in this series, studying the New Testament one chapter per week, starting with week 1, studying Matthew chapter 1, are always available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. And finally, before we get started, join the thousands who keep up with International Gospel Hour and visit facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's start our study of the 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel. We will do something different in our key word studies this week. We hope that it makes you think. We hope that it makes you appreciate God's Word even more. After this different approach to our key word studies, we will start with our chapter summaries. First, our brief skeletal outline of Mark 10, and then second, our expanded outline of the chapter. After that, we will begin our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the text. Rather than focusing on just a few of the most frequently occurring terms in the chapter, we will spend some time looking at just one word that appears in Mark 10. That's right, just one word. There are 257 different terms that make up the 884 total words appearing in the 52 verses of Mark 10. The most frequently occurring term, the one translated as the, who, which, appears 106 times in the chapter. At the other end of the spectrum, let's consider the least frequently appearing term. Well, to tell you the truth, there's no least frequently appearing term if by that expression you mean the single least frequently appearing term. What exactly does that mean? It means that there are numerous words in Mark chapter 10 that could be identified as the least frequently appearing term, 138 of them to be exact. That's right. There are 138 original terms in this chapter that only appear one time. Alphabetically, they range from the verb to love to the term translated as so that, in order that, thus, with another 136 singularly appearing terms in between those two. As we have stated in our studies through Matthew and up to this point in Mark's Gospel, the number of times that a term appears in a given context indicates something about its significance, but not everything about its significance. Those terms that we find at the top of the most frequently occurring terms from one chapter to the next, those helping words, as we have labeled them, are the foundational building blocks of sentences, paragraphs, thoughts, concepts, reasoned arguments for or against something, and so forth. They are the glue that holds everything together. These words are what makes the original languages of Scripture work. They are what makes every language work. So, are all 130 singularly appearing words in Mark chapter 10, are they unworthy of our consideration? Hardly. The first one that we mentioned, at the head of the list alphabetically, the word translated as loved in Mark chapter 10, verse 21, should not be missed as we study through this chapter. Here's what that verse says. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." What's going on in this immediate context? Quite a lot, actually. As we go through our brief and then our expanded outlines of the chapter, you will note that, as Jesus and the apostles were traveling, a man ran up to Jesus, knelt before Jesus, and asked him what he needed to do in order to inherit eternal life. That sounds like a pretty significant thing to pay attention to in context, right? Absolutely. Jesus, in responding to this man, told him about the commandments, meaning the Ten Commandments. Jesus referenced six of them directly as he spoke to the man. The young man, well aware of what the commandments said and what the commandments required, told Jesus, "All these things I have kept from my youth." That's verse 20 of Mark chapter 10, the verse immediately before the one that we just cited a moment ago. In that next verse, Jesus told the man what he was missing. The man was, as we learned later in the text, wealthy. Mark 10:22 tells us that he had great possessions. Jesus, who knew the hearts and the minds of those he met, see John 2:23 and following, Jesus knew this man's heart and his mind as well. Jesus knew what he needed to hear, and Jesus knew what he needed to know in order to inherit eternal life. Keeping the commandments, that was just a start. But you can keep the commandments and still miss something. What can you miss? You can miss keeping the commandments for the right reason. You can keep them, assuming as you do so, that you are morally right, morally justified, morally pure before God on the basis of keeping those commandments alone. Does that mean that the commandments of God were superfluous? No, not at all. It means that everyone who was righteous before God would submit to, would follow God's commandments. But it does not mean that everyone who kept God's commandments were righteous. The brief version, all who are righteous keep God's commandments, but not all who keep God's commandments are righteous. Just how can that be? That can be because of the assumption that we noted just a moment ago. You can keep God's commandments with the thought in mind that the physical practice of obeying them inherently makes you righteous, that the doing or the not doing of certain commandments cleanses you from sin, makes you stand pure before God. If that were true, then you could have your heart and your mind filled with evil intentions and thoughts, but still be right in God's sight, just as long as you did what he asked and did not do what he asked you not to do. That's why Jesus went to such lengths to take the religious leaders of his day to task. Too many of them were all about the doing and the not doing, but not about purity of heart, purity of soul, and purity of mind. They could pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but they could have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, and mercy and faith in the process. See Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. That's what Jesus saw, at least in part, in this man. But there was more. Jesus looked at this man. The text does not just mean that Jesus glanced at him quickly, that he only looked at him this one time. It indicates an ongoing looking, a fixed look. Bauer notes that it means to look at something directly and therefore intently, look at, gaze on. Jesus looked at his disciples the same way later in Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And then there's this. The text says, Jesus loved him. That word love, it's one of the 138 original terms in Mark chapter 10 that only shows up once. But oh, how meaningful it was. Jesus did not, out of anything less than love for this man's body, soul, and spirit, say to him that there's one thing you lack. No, Jesus, because he loved him, told this man, this soul created in the image of God, Jesus told him exactly what he needed to hear. He needed to hear that his apparent attraction to and affinity for great possessions could actually keep him from inheriting eternal life. What was his response to Jesus' loving caution? Because of Jesus' message, the man was sad at his word and went away sorrowful. Mark chapter 10, verse 22. You will search long and hard throughout the New Testament text, and you will never find a commandment that literally says that, in order to be right in God's sight, you must sell everything that you have, and you must give it all away to the poor. It's just not there. You will, however, find the principle that lies behind that thought everywhere in the Old Testament scriptures. Whatever it takes, be willing to pay that price. But paying the price did not mean that this wealthy man could afford to buy redemption. Redemption cannot be bought, not at any price. Nor can redemption be earned, not for one good deed, not for a million good deeds. What it cost was not something that he could pay for, but rather something that he had to give up. He had to give up self, and in this case, giving up self meant surrendering his possessions. A very hard lesson to learn. And Jesus presented it to him because Jesus loved him. Loved. Appearing just once in Mark chapter 10, but that's all it needed to appear in order to show us who Jesus was, what Jesus was like, how much Jesus cared, and how much Jesus cared for this man. And because it appears here for me to read, for you to read, for all of us to read, how much Jesus cares for all of us. That's just one of the 257 different terms that make up the words that appear in this chapter. It's just one of the 138 terms that appear but one time, the word loved. And yet, it tells us everything that we need to know about who Jesus was and how much he cares. Let's start our outlines of Mark chapter 10. First, our brief outline, and then our expanded outline. Here's the brief outline. Mark chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus traveled to Judea. The multitudes followed him again. Jesus taught them again. Mark chapter 10, verses 2 through 9, the Pharisees challenge, can a man divorce his wife lawfully? Jesus' response, Moses' command, God's from the beginning intent. Mark 10, 10 through 12, the disciples' question, another divorce question. Jesus' response, the divorce and the adultery answer. Mark 10, 13 through 16, the little children, the disciples' attitude versus Jesus' attitude. Mark 10, 17 through 22, the danger of riches, part 1, the man who wanted to inherit eternal life while hanging on to his riches, Jesus' counsel to that young man. Mark 10, 23 through 31, the danger of riches, part 2, Jesus to the disciples, it's hard for those with riches to enter God's kingdom. The disciples' astonishment, Jesus' explanation. Mark 10, verse 32, Jesus and the disciples on the road to Jerusalem. The disciples are amazed. Jesus tells what will happen to him. Mark 10, 33 and 34, Jesus speaks of his betrayal, trials, death, and resurrection, the third time. Mark 10, 35 through 40, the sons of Zebedee's request, part 1. Grant us this in your glory. Jesus' response, you do not understand what you ask for. Jesus' follow-up question, are you willing to be baptized with a baptism that I am baptized with? Mark 10, 41 through 45, the sons of Zebedee's request, part 2. The other disciples' response, Jesus' message, the difference between rulers and servants. Mark 10, 46 through 52, the healing of blind Bartimaeus. That concludes our brief outline of Mark 10. Let's expand and develop that outline as we continue our study. Mark 10, verse 1, Jesus traveled to Judea. The multitudes followed him again. Jesus taught them again. Verse 1, Jesus left Capernaum, the last place he was preaching in Mark chapter 9, and Jesus traveled to Judea. Multitudes gathered to Jesus, as they always did, and Jesus, as was commonplace, Jesus taught them again. Mark 10, verses 2 through 9, the Pharisees challenge, can a man divorce his wife lawfully? Jesus' response, Moses' command, God's from the beginning intent. Verse 2, the Pharisees came to Jesus. They came with a question. Their question was this, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Mark tells us that the Pharisees asked this question in order to test Jesus. Verse 3, Jesus responded to the Pharisees' question, and Jesus did so with a question of his own. Jesus' question was this, what did Moses command you? Verse 4, the Pharisees responded by saying, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Verse 5, in his reply to the Pharisees' statement, Jesus said that it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote that. Verse 6, as Jesus continued his reply, he noted something else. Since the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Verse 7, it was for this reason that a man would leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Verse 8, so that the two would be one flesh, no longer two, but one flesh. Verse 9, what God joined, man should not separate. Mark chapter 10, verses 10 through 12. The disciples' question, another divorce question. Jesus' response, the divorce and the adultery answer. Verse 10, in the house, the disciples asked Jesus about the same subject. Verse 11, Jesus told them that whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. Verse 12, and if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Mark 10, 13 through 16, the little children. The disciples' attitude versus Jesus' attitude. Verse 13, little children were brought to Jesus so that he might touch them. The disciples chastised those who brought the children to Jesus. Verse 14, When Jesus witnessed it, he was displeased. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." Verse 15, "Truly I tell you, if anyone does not receive God's kingdom like a child, then that person will not enter God's kingdom." Verse 16, "Jesus took the children in his arms. Jesus laid his hands on them, and Jesus blessed them." Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22, The Danger of Riches, Part 1. The man who wanted to inherit eternal life while hanging on to his riches. Jesus' counsel to that young man. Verse 17, "As Jesus was traveling down the road, someone came running up to Jesus, knelt before Jesus, and then asked Jesus, 'What do I do to have eternal life?'" Verse 18, "Jesus spoke to the man, 'Why call me good? There's only one that's good, God.'" Verse 19, "Jesus told the man that, 'You know what the commandments are. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill anyone. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not take advantage of anyone. Respect your parents.'" Verse 20, "The man spoke to Jesus and said, 'Teacher, from my youth I have always kept these commandments.'" Verse 21, "Jesus, as he looked at the man, loved that man. And Jesus said this to the man, 'You are missing one thing. Go on your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, take up your cross, and follow after me.'" Verse 22, "The man was saddened by what Jesus said. In sorrow he went away, because he had many possessions." Mark 10, 23-31, The Danger of Riches, Part 2. Jesus to the disciples, "It's hard for those with riches to enter God's kingdom." The disciples' astonishment, Jesus' explanation. Verse 23, Jesus turned to his disciples, and Jesus said this, "It's hard for those with riches to enter God's kingdom." Verse 24, that astonished the disciples. Jesus repeated what he said, and Jesus told the disciples, calling them children, "It's hard to those who trust in riches to enter God's kingdom." Verse 25, "It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Verse 26, the disciples, greatly astonished, asked this question, "Who can be saved?" Verse 27, Jesus looked at the disciples, and Jesus told them, "It's not possible with man, but not so with God, for with God all things are possible." Verse 28, Peter spoke to Jesus, and he said, "We have left everything to follow after you." Verse 29, Jesus replied to Peter's question, and Jesus said, "Truly, no one who has left house or family or property for my sake and for the gospel's sake," verse 30, "who will not be blessed 100 times more, now at this time, with more houses and family and lands, along with persecutions, and who will, in time to come, receive eternal life." Verse 31, "There are many who are first who will be last, and the last who will be first." Mark 10, verse 32, Jesus and the disciples on the road to Jerusalem. The disciples are amazed. Jesus tells what will happen to him. Verse 32, "As Jesus and the disciples traveled along the road, heading to Jerusalem, Jesus was ahead of the disciples, and the disciples were amazed. As they followed along behind Jesus, they are afraid." Jesus took the 12 disciples aside once more, and Jesus began to tell the disciples what he would experience. Mark 10, 33-34, Jesus speaks of his betrayal, trials, death, and resurrection the third time. Verse 33, Jesus said, "Pay attention. We are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be betrayed there, to the chief priest and to the scribes. They will sentence the Son of Man to death. They will deliver the Son of Man to the Gentiles." Verse 34, "And they will mock the Son of Man. They will beat the Son of Man. They will spit on the Son of Man. And they will kill the Son of Man. And 3 days later, the Son of Man will resurrect from the dead. Mark 10, 35-40, The Sons of Zebedee's Request, Part 1. Grant us this in your glory. Jesus' response, You do not understand what you ask for. Jesus' follow-up question, Are you willing to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Verse 35, James and John came to Jesus. They said that they wanted Jesus to do whatever they asked him to do. Verse 36, Jesus spoke, and Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? Verse 37, they told Jesus, Let us sit on either side of you in your glory. Verse 38, Jesus told them, You do not know what you are asking. Jesus asked them if they would be able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. Verse 39, James and John told Jesus that they were able to do so. Jesus told them, You will drink the same cup, and you will experience the same baptism. Verse 40, But to sit on either side of me, that's not mine to give. It does, though, belong to those who are prepared. These reminders as we conclude. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com.
God be with you till we meet again.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We hope first that it glorified God, but second, we hope that it edified you. Listen to it again if you need to, or to other lessons in this series by going to the Media tab at our site, internationalgospelhour.com.
With you till